Hello. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q1 2023 JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd. earnings conference call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Now I'd like to turn the conference over to Stella Wang. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2023 earnings conference call. The company's results were released early today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and Chief Executive Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd. Mr. Gener Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd. Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Co., Ltd. Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Co., Ltd. Mr. Li will discuss JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
很高兴取得了同比提升的营业收 入， 逐渐出货量和毛利率。硅料价格在一季度有波 动， 我们及时调整了供应链策略来降低成 本， 同时借助全球化营销网络的布局和 N 型产品力的优 势， 有溢价的 N 型产品出货量将近 50%， 部分贡献了盈利的提升。一季度毛利率为 17.3%， 相比于去年一季度的 15.1%。一季度公司的盈利仍受到美国滞港费的拖 累， 我们已经采取了积极的措施来应对。通关效率和美国市场出货量在逐步提升。随着我们陆续取得了有利进 展， 预期美国市场的出货量会逐季度改善。近期我们主要的运营子公司江西金科成功发行了100亿人民币的可转债。筹募资金将为我们提供建设高效 N 型产品提供强有力的支撑。一季度的市场需求呈现淡季不 淡， 中国市场受益于产业链价格的回落及2022年原子项目的开工。一季度中国光伏装机规模达到33.7个吉瓦，同比提升了154.8%。光伏煤气装机首次超越水 电， 成为国家第二大能源。出口数据也很强劲。一季度中国煤气出口光伏组件及电池总金额为131.3亿美元，相对于去年同期水平提高了15.3%。二季度以 来， 随着产业链各环节的博弈相对企 稳， 硅料价格进入了缓降节奏。随着硅料产品的陆续释 放， 硅料价格的下行将极大释放市场的需求。一线企业有望凭借更强的供应链管理、市场布局、研发和产品力获取更多的市场份额。我们看好2023年全球市场的需求增长和新技术渗透带来的机遇。在全球化的供应链和营销网络的基础 上， 持续加大 N 型产品的研发和产能的投 入， 并在 PV 加领域持续探 索， 积极应对市场竞争。截止一季度 末， 尖山二期11个吉瓦的 TOPCon 电池线产能已经满 产， 182N 型 TOPCon 电池平均量产的转化效率已经达到 25.3%。 此外，我们还加强了 N 型生态链的构建，通过关键主材料的保供、核心技术的迭代和工艺的改进，不断增强从 N 型硅片、电池组件全方位的竞争优势。当前行业技术扩张相对较慢，我们的技术、性能、成本指标均在不断的优化，有望持续领先行业。近期在 PVTech 发布的 ModuleTech 可融资性评级报告中，我们荣获了 3A 评级，凭借优异的制造、财务和技术优势受到行业认可。截止一季度末，我们的 N 型组件累计出货量已超过了16个 G 瓦，近一年以来已经为全球数百个项目提供了支持。2023年1月，我们发布了第二代 TechNew 系列的组件，升级版 TechNew 包括了54片445瓦、72片的615瓦以及78片的635瓦三个系列，最高效率分别达到了 22.27%、22.23% 和 22.72%。同时，我们加大了对储能业务的投入和培育，不断为客户带来更有效、更可靠、安全且有成本优势的光储解决方案，引领行业清洁能源的转型。我们认为未来的竞争力将是综合实力的竞争，我们有信心凭借日益完善的全球产业链建设和 N 型研发的产品力优势，进一步提升我们的全球市场竞争力和盈利水平。话题交给杰娜之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。预计2023年底 N 型电池量产效率将达到 25.8%， N 型产能占比将达到 70% 以上。我们有信心完成年初设定的全年出货目标，其中 N 型组件出货量将达到 60% 以上。2023年第二季度公司组件的出货量在16个 G 到18个 G 瓦之间。
We are pleased to deliver year-over-year improvements in module shipments, total revenues, and gross margin. With polysilicon prices being volatile in the first quarter, we adjusted our supply chain strategy to effectively control our costs. Meanwhile, the ratio of N-type product shipments approached nearly 50% of our total module shipments, thanks to their high efficiency and our strong global marketing network, which partially contributed to the improvement in our profitability. Gross margin was 17.3%, compared with 15.1% in the first quarter last year. Our profitability in the first quarter remained under pressure from the demurrage costs in the U.S. market. We have proactively taken measures to address this, and we have seen both the efficiency of customers' clearance and the size of our module shipments to the U.S. market gradually improve recently. As we continue to make effective progress, we expect our shipments to the U.S. market to gradually increase in the coming quarters. Recently, our majority-owned principal operating subsidiary, Dongxinco, successfully issued convertible bonds in the principal amount of RMB 10 billion to strongly support the expansion of our high-efficient N-type capacity. Growth in PV demand in the first quarter remained strong, despite some seasonal factors. The Chinese market benefited from falling prices of PV projects and delays in PV projects from 2022. The new installations of PV reached 33.7 gigawatts AC, an increase of 154.8% year over year. As a result, the cumulative installations of PV has surpassed that of hydropower for the first time, making PV the second largest power source in China. In addition, exports of solar cells and modules from China to overseas markets remained strong in the first quarter. Total overseas shipments of modules and cells reached US$13.1 billion in the first quarter, an increase of 15.3% year over year. Since the second quarter, as pricing gains between different segments along the supply chain relatively stabilized, we see price of polysilicon started to decrease moderately, and current module prices has been attractive for the economics of PV projects. With more production volumes gradually released during the year, we believe polysilicon price declines will stimulate large market demand. The top manufacturers are expected to increase their market shares thanks to stronger supply chain management, market footprint, and the competitiveness of their R&D and products. We are optimistic about global market demand and opportunities brought by new technology in 2023. We will continue to invest in R&D and advance the N-type capacity to enhance our N-type leadership in terms of mass production capabilities, product performance, and cost, while exploring the PV plus area to proactively respond to competition. The second phase of 11 gigawatt top console capacity in Jianxia has reached full production, and the average mass produced efficiency of 182 N-type top consoles reached 25.3%. We have also further improved our N-type ecological chain, constantly enhancing our all-around competitive advantages of N-type wafer, cell, and modules, with improving supply chain management for key and auxiliary materials, iteration of core technologies, and process improvement. As our technology, product performance, and costs are all improving continuously, we expect to maintain our leading position in the industry. Recently, we were ranked in the highest AAA category in the Q1 edition of PV Tech's Module Tech Bankability Report, a recognition by the industry of our advantages from outstanding manufacturing, finance, and technology. By the end of the first quarter, our accumulated N-type module shipments exceeded 16 gigawatts, providing support for hundreds of projects globally in the past year. In January this year, we launched the second generation Tiger Neo panel family. The module efficiency of the upgraded Tiger Neo family of 445 watt peak for 54 cells, 615 watt peak for 72 cells, and 635 watt peak for 78 cells were up to 22.27%, 23.23%, and 22.72% respectively. Meanwhile, we increased investments in energy storage business, furthering its development, and continuously provided our clients with high efficient, reliable, and safe solutions at competitive cost to lead the clean energy transformation. In conclusion, future competition will be based on comprehensive strengths. We are confident in our ability to further increase our competitiveness and profitability in the global market. With our continuously improved global industrial chain and cutting-edge N-type technology and products. Before turning over to Jenna, I would like to go over our guidance for the second quarter and full year of 2023. By the end of this year, we expect mass-produced N-type cell efficiency to reach 25.8% and high-efficient N-type cell capacity to account for over 70% of our total solar cell capacity. We are confident we will achieve our module shipment target set at the beginning of the year, with N-type modules accounting for about 60% of total module shipments. We expect the module shipments to be in a range of 16 to 18 gigawatts for the second quarter of 2023.
Thank you. Total shipments in the first quarter reached about 14.5 gigawatts, of which about 90% are module shipments, setting a new high. From a regional perspective, China and Europe accounted for over 60% of the total shipments. Shipments to China market increased more than twofold on a year-over-year basis, while that to Europe market grew over 50% year-over-year. In addition, emerging markets like Latin America and the Middle East, North Africa also made a remarkable contribution. Recently, the industry value chain price has gradually returned to a normal level, and the domestic utility-scale PV projects have started their bid invitations. The current module price is acceptable to clients, which can support them to achieve their predetermined installation target at a stable order pace. We expect that the decrease of industrial supply chain price will drive the growth of utility-scale PV demand, especially in China market. The European PV market has vast potential, and the decrease in industrial chain prices is expected to further drive demand for distributed and utility-scale power stations. The U.S. market has robust demand, and some utility-scale power station demand may be delayed until 2023 due to price factors and supply constraints, with an expected 40 gigawatt DC of PV installed capacity in U.S. by 2023. Over the past year, we have continuously improved our risk management capabilities, continuously improved our supply chain visibility system, and maintained close communication and coordination with customers, suppliers, and other parties to jointly promote the efficiency of the customer clearance in U.S. Based on the experience of supply chain construction and the market network layout, we are committed to meeting our customer delivery with outstanding products and services. Regarding the products, Pioneer achieved a shipment volume of near 60 gigawatts in the first quarter, maintaining a competitive premium. China, Europe, and emerging markets have become the main contributors to shipments. At the same time, we observed that Tigernew is accelerating its penetration in markets like Asia. Recently, we were awarded the title of Australia No. 1 module brand for 2022 by Sunwise. Tigernew not only has multiple advantages such as high conversion efficiency, high power output, and the bifacial factor, but also leads the industry in terms of degradation rates, temperature coefficient, and weak light performance, meeting customers' demand for household scenarios. With the release of N-type capacity and the continuous improvement of Tigernew's product performance, Tigernew's penetration rate and premium are expected to continue to lead the market. In terms of business, distribution market accounted for more than 40% in the first quarter. Considering the sustained demand for utility-scale power stations this year, we expect the proportion of distribution to be around 40% for the whole year. In 2023, our order book visibility exceeds 60%, with the majority being overseas orders. As upstream raw material costs decrease, we expect the module market price to experience a slight decline. Our signing price will fluctuate within a reasonable range in line with market trends. We will continue to focus on customer-centric approaches to provide high-quality products and services to our customers. At the same time, we will adjust our marketing strategies to flexible according to market conditions. With that, I will turn the call over to Ken.
Thank you, Jenny. We are pleased to report a year-over-year increase of about 73% in our shipments in the first quarter, with strong demand from global markets. In response to the polysilicon price decline, we adjusted our procurement strategy and achieved significant year-over-year growth in key financial metrics, including revenue, gross profit, and operating margin. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was $3.4 billion, an increase of 58% year-over-year. Gross margin was 17.3% compared with 14% in the fourth quarter and 15.1% in the first quarter of last year. The sequential and year-over-year increase were mainly due to the decrease in the cost of polysilicon and the increase in the shipment of N-type modules, which have a premium compared with P-type modules. Total operating expenses were $412 million, down 21% sequentially and up 29% year-over-year. The sequential decrease was mainly due to a decrease in shipping cost for solar modules and a decrease in impairment loss on property, plant, and equipment. And the year-over-year increase was mainly attributed to an increase in loss of disposal on PPE and an increase in demurrage charges. Total operating expenses accounted for about 12% of total revenues, compared with even in the fourth quarter and 15% in the first quarter last year, improving year over year. Operating margin was over 5% compared with 2% in the fourth quarter. Excluding the impact of the change in fair value of notes, a change in fair value of long-term investments, and our share-based compensation expenses, adjusted net income attributed to Jinko Solar Holding Company Limited ordinary shareholders was over 121 million, up over 2 times sequentially, and up 1.5 times year-over-year. Moving to the balance sheet. At the end of the first quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were about 1.5 billion, down from 1.6 billion at the end of the fourth quarter, and compared with 2.7 billion at the end of the first quarter of last year. Total debt was about 4.4 billion at the end of the first quarter, compared to 4 billion at the end of the fourth quarter last year. Net debt was about 2.9 billion compared to 2.3 billion at the end of the fourth quarter of last year. And our total debt profile has improved. This concludes our prepared remarks. We're now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Yes, thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before asking the question. And the first question comes from Ryan Lee with Goldman Sachs & Company.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for taking the question. Hi. I guess the first question I had was just around the ASP environment. I know you guys have seen some good margin expansion here, quarter on quarter. It sounds like most of that was driven by the the decline in poly silicon cost. So, yes, what's the status of that? How much more sort of leverage do you have to lower polysilicon costs relative to what you're shipping out and your inventory base today? And then can you kind of give us a sense of what you expect module ASP trends to look like into 2Q and maybe the back half of the year? We are hearing there's sort of double-digit declines in certain markets for solar panels. So wondering where your pricing strategy kind of is trending for the next few quarters. Thanks.
Hey, Greg. This is Jenner. Thanks for the question. Firstly, about the price side. So the market price is somehow stable in Q1 and Q2, mainly in first half. So I don't see there's too much, let's say, different opinion across the industry about the first half module price. But for the second half module price, we have seen some different opinions about based on different expectations of the polysilicon price. However, in our opinion, the polysilicon price might steadily going down step by step. We are not expecting a significant free fall over the second half, but we are more expecting a stable, stepping down quarter over quarter. So based on that expectation, I think that's how we expect the module price will go for the rest of the year. And hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. And then maybe just, I know you made some comments around the U.S. end market. Can you give us your latest thoughts around shipping into the country, you know, how you're navigating the UFLPA, and then also any thoughts around manufacturing or expanding your manufacturing base domestically in the U.S.?
So for the U.S. market side, I think we are closely working with our suppliers, even, you know, sub-suppliers, to make sure we can provide the documents or traceability documents needed for the UFLPA. We have successfully done that based on quite a lot of shipment in the last quarters, and we are expecting, you know, with more and more get more approved based on what we are doing right now. At least that's the expectations. And based on that, we are planning to resume our shipment in U.S. market gradually. And we hope we can get back to a relatively stable or, let's say, or make the situation under control in the next quarters, let's say 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay, understood. And last question for me, I don't know if I might have missed it, maybe you didn't provide it, but can you get the what the CapEx was in the quarter, what the free cash flow was in the quarter, and then any thoughts on kind of the financing needs and strategy for the rest of the year to cover the CapEx here? Thank you.
Hey, Brian, this is Charlie, and you know, we have, you know, the subsidiary, you know, the Jinko Solar, we have completed the 10 billion convertible bonds in Chinese capital markets recently. And second one is the CapEx, you know, it's a range of 1.5 billion to 2 billion, you know, R&D, and the focus is to solidify our leading position in N-type, you know, the supply chain, including the you know, wafer cell and module capacities. And we're expecting, you know, the performance, you know, it's if you look at the Q1 performance, it's pretty good. And we continue to expect, you know, the expansion of the gross margin and our profitabilities. And the operating cash flows last year, you know, it's a kind of the, I think it's around 0.4 billion RMB, and continue to improve. So the financing is already there, and you know, it's sufficient enough, you know, to meet our needs for the CapEx.
Okay, fair enough. I'll pass it on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone, and wait for your name to be announced. And the next question comes from Philip Shen with Roth MKM.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. First one, as a follow-up to Brian on the UFLPA question, how many gigawatts have been released thus far in the U.S.? And how many gigawatts do you have detained total?
Philip, actually, you know, we have significant, you know, starting from Q4 last year, you know, our modules and under UFLPA has started to, you know, go through the customs and, you know, ship to our customers. And we have, I think, achieved a significant amount of the module, you know, shipments. And for the detained, I don't think, you know, we have or very small and tiny. And the most important thing is looking forward. We think, you know, the mechanism has already been there, and we have traceability, very strong traceability capabilities, and we expect, you know, quarter by quarter, our shipment to the U.S. will improve, you know, gradually, and hopefully, we think it's possible in the third quarter, our shipments to the U.S. will be and back to normal situations.
Great, thanks, Charlie. So of the more than 60% of the order book visibility, can you talk about how much of that, or yeah, how much of that do you expect to go to the U.S.? Thanks.
So this year, the total volume we are planning to send to U.S. will be around 5% across the whole year's shipment plan. Because, you know, like Charlie saying, we are gradually, you know, resume our shipment plans and revenue recognition. But because of the, you know, time consuming of the logistics and the USPLP, et cetera, so the revenue side, it won't be too much. That's why we say around 5, maybe 5 to 10, between 5 to 10%.
Right, so 5 to 10% of the annual guidance is roughly 65 gigawatts.
Yeah.
Good. So thank you. And then, you know, our work suggests that, you know, the non-China module, non-China poly modules that you have that can access the U.S. market is roughly 5 gigawatts annually. Does that sound right? And then is it the case that you can smoothly import modules that contain non-China poly now, so there's no issue there at all?
Thanks for the question, Bill. We currently we are planning with multiple resources of polysilicon, at least that we are trying to do, because if we rely on single resource of polysilicon, it might significantly constrain the capability of the supply to U.S. market. I personally, I still believe that might be a challenge for the U.S. U.S. customers as well. So that's what we are trying to do.
Okay, got it. And then shifting back to margins for a bit, or to margins for a bit, can you give us a sense for what? How do you expect margins to trend in Q2 and Q3, especially given the ASP comments that you had earlier? You know, do you expect margin expansion in Q2 and then Q3 perhaps, you know, margins to compress a little bit with some risk to back half pricing? Thanks.
I think the margin-wise, we have the confidence to gradually improve. At least that's what we believe, because thanks to the new technology, the you know, N-type TOPCon based Tiger Neo, which is highly appreciated by the end market, and it did create additional values to the customers. So based on the additional value sharing business models, we are definitely have the confidence to gradually improve our growth margins.
Okay, great. One last question. As it relates to U.S. expansion, I think Brian asked the question. Just want to check in to see if you can give a little more color on the timing of that. My guess is you have to wait for the domestic content rules to be out. And then what do you see for U.S. module pricing trends? Do you think, you know, maybe by year between, you know, this year, 2024 and 2025? Thanks.
Thank you. And again, if you wish to ask a question.
Sorry. I think we missed the last question. I try to briefly talk about it. Then we can pick up the next one, right?
Yes.
So regarding the U.S. expansion, we have the confidence, we have the plan to do it. But for sure, we are still on waiting for some more clarification on the policy side and or approval on the policy side. We are closely following that. Hopefully, we can get some clearance good to go in the next coming weeks or months. We will see. Thank you. Let's take the next one.
Thank you. And again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And the next question comes from Alan Lau with Jefferies.
Thanks a lot for taking my question and congratulations for the really great results and the margin expansion. So my first question is, I'd like to know how much did the port charges related to the detainment in the U.S. border has went down? And if this is going to be zero going forward, then would that, how much would that contribute to the margin expansion?
Yeah, in the first quarter, we have roughly 300 million RMB to 400 RMB, 400 million RMB, you know, the demurrage and the additional storage cost for the U.S., you know, shipment, you know, situations. And it's roughly, I think, 2%, 1.5% to 2% gross margin, you know, impact. And we're expecting a Q2, you know, will dramatically decrease to maybe 25% of the 25% of the Q1 level. So it's going to contribute, I think, at least 1% gross margin expansion.
Thanks a lot. So another question is, we'd like to know how much is the poly prices for the polysilicon purchase from Wacker? So is it the same, is it going down at the same pace as the polysilicon price in China, or it's going down a bit slower?
Yeah, so, you know, it's relatively confidential, but, you know, it's a separate market, right? It's the poly out of the China, the main purpose is for the U.S. markets. And it's, you know, no expansion or capacity for the poly outside of China. So it's kind of very, let's say, very
short
of supply situations, and the prices were is very sticky. And but the different situation in China, the poly is, the supply is sufficient, and we expect maybe some, you know, relatively oversupply situation in your fourth quarter this year. So it's a kind of different pricing, depending on situation, you know, different situations.
Understood. So is it possible that if the U.S. customs accepted some of the Tongwei polysilicon, then your shipment to the U.S. will get even higher margin because you get effectively cheaper polysilicon, right?
I think it will really depend on the market principles, right? So the supply and demand, like Charlie saying, the polysilicon of non-China polysilicon is extremely short of supply. And the end market is very strong, so it definitely needs to create you know, favorable market for the upper stream players. If we have additional polysilicon supply approved, definitely it will, you know, make the situation easier. But how far it will go, it depends on, you know, finally still the supply versus demand. So we will see.
Thank you. That's clear. I think my last question is in relation to the Southeast Asia capacity expansion plan. So, what is the latest plan in terms of the Southeast Asia capacity expansion? Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Currently, we have, you know, 7 gigawatts integrated capacity, but we have a plan to expand the capacity in Vietnam, and you know, it's possibly reach to maybe, you know, 11%, 11 gigawatt to 12 gigawatt integrated capacity by the end of this year.
Thanks a lot. That's very clear. So looking forward for the great results in second quarter ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one and wait for your name to be announced. Okay, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect your line.